Hi, friends. I'm Rebecca Lindhau.
And I'm Amanda Martinson, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Moment. We're so glad to be back with you as we keep, I think, diving deeper into this theme and topic of just trusting in the call. And on the last episode, we went into what is calling and what is purpose and how do you know what you're called to do, and how do we battle some of those things like fear and just not feeling equipped to do those things. And so I think we're going to take a little bit more of a deep dive into that in this episode and go into how do you build your courage and your confidence up to actually do what God has called you to do. So I love this topic. Would you say that you are someone who is like a courageous person? Like, I feel like you have some good fight in you, you know, like, it's like, no, I am going to do this.
I'm pretty zesty. I tend
that, I love that. I'm going to have to steal that. I'm a little zesty.
I tend to jump in there pretty quickly, sometimes without, considering all my options. I'm not necessarily a weigher of options. If you're a magician, you're going to have a volunteer in me. Like, I'm just.
And I couldn't be further from the opposite. I would run to the back. If a magician was like, do you want to come up and volunteer? There's no part in me that would be like, sign me up for that.
I am here to be the chicken. I am here to bark like a dog. Make all the things happen. I'm ready. Let's. And then later I might be like, why? I might have great remorse. Yeah. In the words of Doc Holliday, I'm your Huckleberry.
I love it. Love it. Yeah, I'm totally stealing that. I'm totally stealing that. Hey, after this episode, we hope that every one of you is feeling a little zesty. Well, we laugh and jest. Y'all know how we do on this show, but we are diving into talking about courage and confidence today, because that is something that can really be a hindrance to us in trusting in the call, following the call, being obedient to what God has called you to do. Because a lot of times we might have that calling, we might be confident in knowing, okay, God's called me to do this. And yet there's a part of us that gets stuck and we don't know how to move forward and we don't know exactly how, you know, what steps to take and all of that. So we're going to dive into that today as we look at sort of building up your courage and confidence and really building up your zest, if you will. That's the term that we're going to go with today. But you know what I was thinking when we were talking about this a little bit before we were recording, but that a lot of times I think we equate bravery with courage and we think that they are interchangeable, and yet they're actually very different from one another. Because bravery a lot of times is something that is a reaction in the moment, or it is something that, you know, something happens quickly and we react, we have, we sort of think of this idea of just having this facing difficulty, facing danger and something in the moment, and we just sort of take charge. And yet courageousness, and for someone to be courageous, it actually takes forethought. Mm-hmm. So bravery is really operating in a place of being without fear. So it's like just a reaction and we don't think about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, bravery tends to be something that's more spontaneous a lot of times, but courage is something that takes that forethought. Courage is actually operating still with having some fear. So it's not the absence of fear. So if you're thinking about being more courageous in what God has called you to do, know that you shouldn't expect an absence of fear to be there, because it's quite the opposite, right? Courage is actually something that really is an act that comes from the heart, because it involves taking action in spite of fear.
You can be brave and dumb, right?
Yeah, you can. And I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, We Bought a Zoo, but there's this quote in there from the main character, Benjamin, that it just makes me think of this. And he says, you know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage, just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you something great will come of it. And I think a lot of times we have to get that way about the things that God has called, he's called us to do, because it does take almost that forethought of, I am going to do this even though I am afraid, and taking that step of obedience. And the reason why we're talking about courage and confidence is because they are related to one another. You know, a buildup of courage is also something that helps to grow your confidence. And we'll sort of dig into that a little bit more. But I think we do struggle a lot with this. And I think as women, we struggle a lot with this of being like, have I heard God correctly? Is this actually what he's calling me to do? Did I mishear him? Am I going to take a misstep? You know, we talked about that a lot in the last episode of sort of being afraid that we're going to mess it up, you know, or not feeling like we're the ones who should be doing it, you know, and looking at Moses and sort of, you know, his life and his testimony with his calling. And so I think we feel that a lot of times. And the problem is we don't really know a lot of times how to move past it. And so we get stuck, you know, and we sort of, we're held back from barriers like fear and insecurity and doubt and feeling like just sort of that, you know, we joke about the cheese with the imposter syndrome, but that's one of the things I think that is a part of this, is feeling like somebody else is doing it better, or I'm not good enough to do it. You know, I'm not the one that should be doing this. And so, I mean, I've definitely struggled with this.
That comes from, to a certain degree, because I know there's some guys who are super self-conscious, but I think women are raised to be a little more considering and calculating of our decisions. Guys are taught to be brave, right? Like that's the stereotypical norm. It's not the every case situation, but I think that women are taught to be a little more considering. Like I was telling you about my cousin who, you know, jumped off the chicken house roof. Like that was just like, guys are expected to take big risks.
Yeah.
I think sometimes for women and in our callings too, we are more hesitant to take big risks.
Yeah.
And it's just something to a certain degree that's ingrained in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. And I can see that even with my own life, like, and we were, you know, we laughed before about the being pulled up on stage by the magician and like, you would love that. And I would run from it. But that's part of it, because I actually need more of that. I need more of your mindset of, because what happens is a lot of times I will be confident even when I know that God's calling me to do. And it could be the smallest thing. It doesn't have to be some big, you know, big giant thing with ministry. It could just be the smallest thing. And I will know it. And yet there's a part of me that goes, but do I, but is it, you know, and I start that second guessing. Whereas if I would just have that confidence to act and move forward, it's the taking the next step, right? Like, and I think a lot of people get there where it's like, okay, we even maybe know what God's called us to do or making steps towards that. And yet there's some piece of us that gets stuck. And I think a hindrance with that, and we're going to get into some of these in a minute. And you have a really good example, in scripture of looking at how does this play out and who should be some, you know, someone again, like we looked at Moses last episode, we're going to look at somebody this episode, where we can look at that. But I think that's that prime sort of enemy territory, really, that we are just sort of giving that gateway of knowing, okay, I feel like God's called me to do this. I know God's called me to do this. And yet there's that hindrance there. And I feel like truly if the enemy can keep you stuck and keep you going around in a circle of doubt and fear and insecurity, then he knows that he's got you, right? And that he didn't have to worry about you doing the kingdom work because you're stuck. So yeah. Let's get unstuck today, you know?
I think there's some of us who have the fear on the front end and like you, and then there's some of us who the fear takes over on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So like I might jump right in, but then I'll be super critical of myself afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make me more hesitant to do it the next time.
Yeah.
I was like, did I say that right? Did I, like, criticism really, really is like, nobody likes criticism, but I feel like if I'm criticized, like if in my speaking or whatever, then I have let everyone down, you know? Yeah. And so I might jump in there on the front end and be like, I'm your girl. But on the back end, I'm like, what did I say? And who did I embarrass? And did that make any sense at all? You know?
Yeah.
So there's two kinds of hesitancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, really we probably all fall under one category or the other.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and when we're looking at confidence, I think there's a difference in worldly confidence and there's a difference in biblical confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And biblical confidence is quite different because it is this sort of, you know, idea of confidence not being we're not confident in our own abilities. You know, thank goodness I'm not confident in my own abilities, because we'd be in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's why we struggle with that confidence a lot, is because we are relying on our own abilities instead of God's, right?
Right.
And knowing that confidence is something that is developed and cultivated over time and grows with us. And so even when we're looking at biblical confidence, like, biblical confidence encompasses a strong faith in God. It is really a certainty. It's an assurance of our, not only our relationship with God, but it is a sense of boldness and conviction that, like, we have this faith in God. We want others to know about it. We have this hope, right? It is this assurance that we have, and that we operate out of that place. And I think we struggle to get there sometimes, you know?
And I think that, like, it's just that this is a good place to go back and review in scripture in Exodus 3, when Moses questions that call, but why me? He literally says, but why me? And God doesn't give him the answer of why you. God gives him the answer of, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
So keeping that in mind, that our courage can be based on God and not ourselves.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Let's go into a couple of really common barriers that we face when it comes to building up our courage and confidence when it comes to our calling. And we'll go through these kind of rather quickly, because I want to leave us some time to really get into scripture and talk about some of those themes that we see. But I think first and foremost, this is not going to surprise any of us. I think fear is probably our number one barrier, at least that I see in the women that I know and work with, like in terms of working in ministry and what we see in our just in churches. Like, so many of us, I think, would say that fear holds us back, whether it's the fear of failing, it's the fear of what other people might think of us, it's the fear or even the doubt of our abilities and whether or not we've heard God correctly, right? Like, And I think fear, it is a natural human response to uncertainty. It's a natural response to risk. And like you talking about risk earlier, like, that's 100% true. There's a part of us that looks at calling and taking steps in obedience to our calling as a risk, you know, because we know it's going to call us out of that comfort zone and take us to a different place. And there's an element of risk to that we see. And so,
yeah, every time you start something new, there should be a sense of holy fear, right? That
absolutely,
you know, and that's healthy.
Yes.
But I think to a certain extent, when we all consider our calling and what it, and when we get to that point where we kind of are starting to figure out this is what it is, mm-hmm. we all have this, yikes, it's the snake reaction, right? Could this really be, oh my goodness, like, it's, this is getting real, you know?
Yeah. Yes. So, there is a sense of panic, I think.
Yes.
That sets in when you do say yes.
Yes.
To the nudging, to the calling, to the opportunity, where that is where the courage needs to come in, because there, you will have a moment of, what did I just do? Right. Exactly. What did I just commit to? Right. Mm-hmm. And speaking of snakes, one thing that I want to really point out to you, and I want you to know, and I want to encourage you with as we go through this episode, is that you have to be aware that fear is absolutely one of the enemy's greatest tactics against us. Mm-hmm. And that from the moment, right, that in Genesis 3, we see this, that it is one of the tactics that the enemy is going to use to derail you from being obedient to what God has called you to do. And he did this with Eve, and it was three words, right? Did God really say, right? It's, he wants you to think about that. Are you sure? Right? Are you sure God's called you? He wants to put that doubt and that fear mm-hmm. in you, that you have heard God incorrectly, that this is not the pathway that God is calling you towards. And, you know, we see that right here in scripture. And again, John 8:44 tells us that Satan was a murderer from the beginning, that he was not holding on to the truth. There is absolutely no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, right? Scripture tells us he's the father of lies. And so there is also a spiritual warfare aspect to this, to calling, that you have to understand. And I know everybody will be in different places with that, and it's a layered thing to talk about, but we have to know that that's a part of it. that anytime we're saying yes and we are being obedient, that we have to almost expect that sort of element of the, are you sure? Did God really tell you to do that? Are you sure? So that is absolutely part of it. And here's the thing. If we're not in the Word of God, it's like trying to combat fear with no battle plan, right? I mean, God's Word is part of our battle plan. And we have to understand that part of battling fear when it comes to building your courage and confidence is knowing what God's Word says about you, about Him, about His plan for your life. And it goes back to what we're talking about in the last episode about abiding, right? Like abiding in Christ is how we combat fear. Because the more that we can recognize a lie from the enemy about anything, calling, about it, who God's called us, anything, the more that we can recognize that, the closer we are to God, that becomes more of a like, you don't get to touch me in that area, right? Like you don't get to come after that area of my life.
And when we're operating from a place of fear, there's always going to be something to fear.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's always going to be the snake, but also if we are also looking at things, if we are making our decisions based on how can this hurt me every single time, mm-hmm. you know, then there will be something that in ministry, some way that you will be hurt any choice you make because mm-hmm. Satan's going to come against it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Know that with the calling comes the opposition. Mm-hmm. So don't base your decision on whether or not will I ever be embarrassed, will I ever be hurt, will somebody ever say anything. Yes, yes, and yes, they always will, but that right. doesn't change your call.
That's right.
And I think that Romans 8:28, I think that is one of those scriptures for mm-hmm. me that keeps you moving forward, and I really love it out of the Voice mm-hmm. version of the Bible. It says, we are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything to work towards something good and beautiful when we love Him and accept His invitation to live according to His plan.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. So that's from the Voice. But mm-hmm. like when we accept His invitation to live according to His plan, yeah. He's going to work it out. It doesn't mean that you look. God doesn't make our choices for us, does He? Does He know what they're going to be? Yes, but He gives us free will. And in that free will and in our humanity, there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be challenges and there's going to be wrong moves. But we can't base all of our decisions on what if I do it wrong.
Yeah. Yes. And that's so true. Fear is going to be there because a lot of times our brains are wired towards that fear response. And a lot of times, some of the things that God asks us to do won't be logical, right? And so our humanness tries to go, but that doesn't add up, right? And that's, I don't know how that would even work, God, but that doesn't matter because God has worked it out already. And so you are a piece of that wonderful puzzle that He is putting together of how He's working around you. And so combating that fear, staying in the Word of God, like knowing what Scripture says and being confident that knowing that fear is going to be there and you have to learn how to push through it. Recognizing those lies from the enemy, you know,
get through the fear to get to the beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much. And I think a lot of, so even when this kind of relates to fear too, but I feel like a lot of us fear we will mess it up. We fear that we will fail. We fear that we're just going to, like you said, I mean, you battle this sometimes with speaking. I do that too. Like I think, oh my gosh, like I'm just utterly going to like mess this up. And, you know, we have that element of not feeling equipped. Like, you know, maybe God's calling you to lead a Bible study, but maybe but that the enemy is going, but you haven't read through the whole Bible. You can't lead a Bible study for, you know, for women. You haven't even read through the whole Bible. You don't know your scriptures. You know, it's this constant, like this constant barrage of these lies and going back to saying, if God has called me to do this, then I need to be obedient in doing it. But we feel that feeling of not feeling equipped to do it. Although we know this in our heads, we have to match it up with what we believe in our heart. That truly, if God calls us to do something, He's going to equip us to do it and give us the resources to do it.
And that God doesn't require us to be the most holy people that He knows to be called.
Yeah.
you know, you look at back in the scripture of who did Jesus call, you know? Mm-hmm. And even in the beginning in Jesus's temptation, like Sarah says, even Satan knew scripture, right? Yep. It doesn't mean that you don't study scripture, but you also know that you can know the Bible front to back and have no action.
Yeah.
Or know the scripture front to back like the Pharisees did and still have misplaced intentions.
Yeah.
So we have to remember that it's not always about who is like there's no perfect minister.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And battling that perfectionism, I think for some perfectionism is a barrier too, and it's a hindrance to leveling up really in your confidence because, I've struggled with this at times. We get so worried about whether we're going to do the thing that God's called us to do in this season with the most excellence, right? And I have to do it absolutely perfect or it's going to mess something up, and realizing that this is not based on your on perfection. It's based on obedience and your willingness to do what God has given you to do. And, you know, this is hard because in the world that we live in, we very much live in a world that thrives on instant success.
And I think that also, you know, we talked about on last episode, I talked about the example of Moses, and the scripture says that Moses said that he was slow of speech and tongue. And he says, you know, why would you call me? I'm slow of speech and tongue. And God replies, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
Yeah.
So as we are, as you are calculating the cost, you know, as we sometimes do, and as we are feeling those feelings of fear, remember that the call is to go. Now go. I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say.
That's
sometimes
right.
God is helping us build this airplane as we fly it, right?
Yeah. And, that's a great analogy. That's exactly right.
And it's not going to be perfection. I know that when I did children's ministry for 13 years, y'all, and that, you know, some people might be like, well, that's not long. It is a long time in mm-hmm. children's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And every single day, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Every single day. But I look back and I see how God used me. And I look now and see how I am able to speak truth to other children's ministers who were in that same place that I was mm-hmm. and say, so many of my mistakes taught me so much, and let me help you not make that mistake, you know?
Right.
So God used every bit of it. But every single day I felt like it was honestly the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're moving on to that. I'm not who these people think I am. I have not got this figured out. I am building this plane as I fly it.
Mm-hmm. It is a real struggle. And I think that imposter syndrome is a real thing. And the not feeling equipped, those are very like we want to validate that for you, because those are real things that, and we still struggle with those things. I do the same thing. Like when I get up to speak, or when I'm going to write, like I still battle that imposter syndrome. I battle that insecurity of like, is this really good enough? Should I be doing this? And here's what I want to say to that too. That is the ultimate thing that is the practical way to help with this. And that is, we have to learn to rely on the work of the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Like, that is the Holy Spirit who is equipping us, pruning us, refining us. And we have to rely, like when I'm getting up to speak, I cannot do that on my own. Like I might can have some notes. I might can have all the things of what I think are going to work. At the end of the day, I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help me do that. I have to rely on God. I can't do it without Him. And that's one of the things I think is surrendering that, to say like, Lord, I have to give this to you, because if I don't, I'm in my head about this, you know, like I'm in my head thinking I can't do this. Someone's doing this better. And here's the reality. And I say this in the most loving of ways to all of us. Somebody is doing it better, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like somebody is doing it. And you're doing it better than somebody else. And here's the thing, it's actually not a competition. And we view it like that, and we've been sort of taught to view it that way. But it is collaboration and not competition. So when you have those like imposter syndrome thoughts, I want you to think about, first of all, squashing those, like, but also knowing that there might be people that are doing what you want to do. Maybe there are people that already have that. Ask them, like, hey, would you consider meeting for coffee and talking about how you did this? Like, how, if you're someone, like, for example, who, like, you feel very called to write and speak, or you feel called to start a ministry, look, who's doing that ministry? Is there somebody around you doing that ministry? Is there a writer, like someone who's a writer, a speaker? Say, hey, could I take you out to lunch? Could we talk? Could you share? Just like you were just saying, I give that advice to the children's ministers that are coming behind me. There's always going to be someone who's a little bit ahead of us and someone who's coming up behind us that will need our encouragement. And everybody battles this. You're the best-selling authors battle this. The people who have been doing ministry for 20, 30, 40 years still battle this feeling of not feeling equipped, not feeling good enough to do these things. This is something we all struggle with.
Every author, I'm sure, that has ever written on any spiritual topic has had a moment where they stopped and said, well, what do I know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So everybody battles that. And I think that the practical step of starting small, starting where you are and working from that, there's an authenticity to that, that I actually think draws people to you in that, because they see you just being obedient in the everyday moments, you know, and that is
letting people see so you important. In the struggle.
Yes.
Like letting them see you conquer your fears, yes. Letting them see you moving forward, even still,
yes.
Even when Satan comes against you, even when you don't get it right, even when the world is putting you down, seeing you keep your head up and keep moving forward is a ministry to people as well.
Yeah. And that's what I would tell you today. What's the next step? So use the courage that you have. And you might be sitting there going, but I don't have any courage. Yes, you do. There is some inkling of it inside of you. And all you need is the tiniest little bit to take the next step. What is that next step for you? I want you to talk a little bit about an example in scripture that we can pull from this. And I think it's one of the best examples really that we have to look at this when it comes to courage and confidence.
So when I think about the person who in scripture who lacked that courage, but God just kind of shoved her into it. It is Esther. You know, here is a princess who finds out that her entire people's existence is about to be wiped off the face of the planet by her husband, because he didn't think 10 steps down the road about what his decision would be and exactly who would be impacted.
Yeah.
So she is, here's Esther sitting in the lap of luxury, and her uncle Mordecai, who was kind of like a father to her, he comes to her and says, look, there's this edict and all the Jews are going to be killed, and you got to do something.
Right.
And she kind of was like, you know, who am I to do this? Like, I don't even know if the king will let me approach his throne. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
And so Mordecai answers her when she says, she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless he extends the golden scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at a time like this, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you will have no part of it. Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? And I just love that. And I was telling you earlier that the part that I love, like we hear all the time, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. And that is so true. God has created you for this time and this place. We all have a ministry in this time and in this place.
Right.
It will be different than what it might be next month, but we all have a ministry where we are. But this idea that we're going to mess it all up, that we are going to somehow fail, and the entirety of the you know, for her, the entirety of the lives of the Jews will fall apart. But God said, but right here, Mordecai says, no, God will use somebody else. He's going to deliver us, but you won't get to have any part in it. And when this idea that we cannot allow our fear to dictate our calledness, that yes, you might mess up part of it. Yes. But guess what? God has called you.
Yeah.
God has called you. Can he use someone else? Yes, by all means. God can use anybody. God can equip and prepare anybody, but he has chosen you. And you want to be part of what he's doing. You want to be where the Holy Spirit is moving. You want to be on the leading edge of where God has called you. And so to be on the leading edge of where God is calling you means stepping out even in fear.
That's right.
Nonetheless, you may fear, but nonetheless, you go.
Yeah. And the fact that some of you have absolutely no idea the impact, just that your testimony will have on someone. I think about what Esther did. I think about how her example was such a testimony of her obedience to God, but how that was such a testimony of courage and taking the next step and being moving despite fear, because she was fearful. Like there's no way that she did not, she had fear.
Literally putting her neck on the line.
Literally. Yes, literally. Her literal life on the line.
Right. And then with Esther, what I love about this is like, she lets it sink in for a minute, what Mordecai is saying. And she decides, she makes a very strong decision. I am moving forward, but she also decides, I'm not moving forward by myself.
That's right.
So her next step was when he said, oh, God can use somebody else, but you're not going to have any part in it. Perhaps you were chosen for such a time as this, Esther. Then her next words to Mordecai are, go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or night or day. And my attendants will fast as well. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she says, y'all, everybody, y'all got to pray.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Y'all come with me. So she went, she literally in literal sense went by herself, but she went with the prayers and the fasting of all her people.
That's right.
And there is this idea also in the Orthodox tradition that we are separated from the saints by thin gossamer veil. You know, we go in the courage of those who have gone before us. We go in our own courage, and we go in the courage of those who come behind us. That we are not in this by ourselves. And we need to call those people around us to fast and to pray for us as we go, because we cannot do this in our own strength.
That's exactly right. And that's what I hope you take from this, is that you do not need to wait around to feel more qualified, to feel good enough, to feel like you have it all together, that there it has to look a certain way. Move forward in courageous faith. And know that confidence comes. Like, confidence is something that is, it can grow and it can build. The courage piece, taking that step in faith and knowing that God can use anything, and that your life, your testimony can impact someone potentially for eternity. And that is not something we need to delay on. We need to take a note from Esther and be ready with a sense of urgency that, you know, being courageous and confident in your calling, it doesn't mean that you have it all figured out. She didn't have it all figured out. She was, you know, given one piece at a time. But we move forward relying on God, right? He's the one who does have it all figured out. And
I want to just bring up one more thing before we wrap this up in a pretty bow. And that is the word shame. I think that is one of the things that Satan will use against us too.
Oh, for sure.
He'll make us look backwards to our missteps and our mistakes and think that God could never use me because of that. But I want to give you the example of a young lady at my church right now. And I'm not going to use her name, although she would probably tell me to, because she is brave as all get out. Well, courageous as all get out. But, you know, she went through a really hard time of addiction in her own life. And she lost jobs, she lost family, she lost friends because of it. And God, in his wisdom, brought her out of that. He brought her out of addiction and brought her into a new life. She has a beautiful family with a little daughter that I minister to. And what I have seen in her is that God used that addiction for her. She has basically started an addiction ministry at my church.
Wow.
And the first thing that she did was bring her people around her. And she said, I need y'all to pray for me because I can't do this on my own. And right. She has gotten such a team around her. But it is actually the very things that she would say bring her shame that brought other people to her ministry, that brought people in that made them willing to take the step and say, I'm going to go to this meeting because I know her and I have used with her, you know?
Yeah.
And God used her shame for his glory. And so don't ever, ever let anybody say that God can't use you because of your mistakes. God will use you because of your mistakes.
100%. That is Revelation 12:11. Again, like, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Like, you have no idea the impact that your testimony, what you have been through, what God has called you to do, what he's done in your life, like, how that can so greatly impact someone else. Right. And I think that's the note that we take with us, and is knowing that you move forward one step at a time and trusting that with 100% assurance and confidence, not in yourself, but in God, that if he called you to it, he has a plan for you in it.
Yeah, let's just revisit that scripture one more time in Exodus 3:12. Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, friends.